Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Ann, and you are listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. We thank you for being here today, whether you're watching or listening in the car. We thank you for being here. We are a podcast radio show that focuses mainly on infertility and miscarriage, but if you've listened for a little while now, you know that we've branched to many more topics, including adoption and foster care, singleness, and child loss, and lots more topics in between. And so we thank you for being here. If you're new here, we're happy to see you today. I have lots of people to introduce on today's show. A lot of times it's just one person joining me, which is usually Kendra. And at the time of this recording, she is still out on maternity leave. But I have three people to introduce on today's show. If you're not watching, then you didn't realize that. But if you're watching, you see them here with me now. They're all family too. So I have my husband, Will, who y'all have met multiple times before.
Hello.
I have my sweet mother-in-law, Kathy Cockrell.
Hello.
And then my sweet father-in-law, Ricky Cockrell.
Hello, y'all.
And y'all might be wondering, why is everyone from, what, is this family day at work day? No. But anyway, I asked them to come on to discuss something that's pretty hard to talk about, deep to talk about, all the things, but we are going to talk today about grandparent grief. If you've been following along my story at all, you know that Will and I, we had our baby boy to pass away last July in 2023. And since then, you know, different parts of the family have grieved John Micah differently. Each one of us carry grief differently, and something that I feel like that I have looked into since losing John Micah has been grandparent grief. And if you look into grandparent grief, what you're going to find mostly on Google is how to grieve a grandparent. And that's not what we're dealing with here. We're talking about grandparents grieving a grandchild, a loss of a grandchild. And so I hope that this episode reaches someone out there that needs it, because there's not a whole lot about this subject. So, you guys, are y'all ready for this?
Yes.
What we're going to start out today is just kind of talking about what July 17th, a day that's very ingrained in our hearts now. That was John Micah's birthday, and also the day that he passed away. And so we're going to talk about what that day looked like for y'all that day.
Well, I just remember sitting in the hospital room and the hospital waiting room, and waiting in anticipation of the news I did not know was coming. And so once that news of John Micah didn't make it, and then entering the room with y'all, all it was sadness. It was just sadness.
Yeah.
Well, for me, thinking about what I really remember is crying, hugging, and crying and hugging.
Yeah.
The whole day.
Yeah. All day long.
All day long.
Yeah.
With different people, with y'all individually. I mean, I remember, Ann, when I first got to see you. Don't remember what I said, but I remember we cried.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We hugged and we cried.
That was back in recovery.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And, recovery was awful.
And the thing, Will, that I really remember about that day for you is when you called me.
Yeah.
And I did not understand at first why you weren't speaking. Mm. And then the first type of a word that came out of your mouth was not a real word. Mm. It was angst. And I knew right then, uh-oh, this is not a normal Monday.
Mm, yeah.
At all.
And it was not.
Yeah.
It was not. So just a quick recap, I had gone into the hospital for decreased fetal movement. He had a very important appointment the next day, and so I kind of thought I was being overprotective, just like going to, you know, because that was the very first appointment you had ever missed before.
Yeah.
And not really an appointment, but just like, I'm just going to go up there and listen to the heartbeat, you know. And obviously what happened next, you know, no one was expecting. And so we hadn't even let y'all know I was going because we thought I was just going to hear his heartbeat, you know. And so that is that phone call that we're talking about after I had called you and told you they're taking me back for surgery. He's coming right now. You know, he's not doing good. That's the phone call that then you called your dad, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. It seems like the more that we talk about John Micah and that day, I learn something new every time we talk about it, just about, you know, because a lot of, even back in recovery, you know, I'm recovering from an emergency C-section, and so many medicines were in my head, you know, and so there's a lot of stuff that I feel like I end up hearing for the first time as people, you know, are sharing. So that day, for us, I know that we've talked about it being obviously one of the most awful days, but also a day that we got to meet John Micah, you know, and so it ends up being a special day too. So what was it like? You're now in a whirlwind now. You've found out that your grandson didn't make it, but now you're also watching your son mourn a son, you know, like so much stuff going on there.
To me, watching Will and you, and Will is just, y'all are comforting each other, and that was, you're hurting doubly. My heart's breaking in two places.
Mm, yeah.
And so just to know that I don't get to have time with my grandson, but then my son does not get to have his time with his son. It is heartbreaking to watch something that you cannot help do anything.
Mm. Yeah.
For me, the part of watching Will that I really remember on that day was how many people came into the room where we were at.
Yeah.
Together. I almost feel like Kathy and I were with y'all throughout the whole day. Yeah. And so we got to see other family members come and interact with y'all and come and talk to y'all. And I really was relieved, happy almost, if you could be happy, to see how every person who came did what we did.
Mm-hmm.
They hugged. Don't even remember what words people used,
no.
And y'all cried. I saw y'all grieve with tears, and I know that's, I don't know anything about grieving, but I know that was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I always say, looking back on that day, like, that's all, I mean, yeah, that's all I remember, the hugging and the crying.
Yeah.
And I don't remember much anything anybody said, but that is, yeah, at that time, that was, it was comforting,
yeah.
You know.
Well, there are people, from what I understand, that maybe I don't even remember seeing, but that I know, I found out that they are at the hospital to just pray for us, you know.
Oh.
And so, you know, that means so much, you know.
Yes.
And that just shows that you literally don't have to say anything.
Yes.
It's just being a body, being there. What was it like for y'all to then, like, go from, okay, I'm still grieving and still in shock, I'm sure. I think we're still all sort of still in shock, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But to then now, okay, I need to jump in grandparent roles, and there's other grandkids to take care of, and, you know, because now Will and I are at the hospital, and there's now big decisions to make. I remember you were on the phone with your brother trying to figure out a burial plot, you know.
Watching y'all plan, because y'all had friends who had walked through this and were able to guide y'all. And I just wanted to be, like, supportive, because this is your child. I wanted to support any decisions that you made, but I was worried about where John Micah was going to be buried. And it's really special that we discovered that he could be buried between my parents.
Mm-hmm. We've never shared that on here before.
No.
they're not there, but it's just comforting to know that he is where their special place is.
Yeah, my kiddos, Mark and Jane, now call John Micah's burial plot his John Micah's special place, because we take him special things there, special rocks and a fire truck sitting out there and his special wreath. And so that is his special place. But, yeah, it is. He is actually on top in between Will's grandparents. And so it became an even more special place. And so we go out there a good bit.
Yeah.
But that for anyone, I think that's good information to share. I hope that anyone listening to this episode, you know, doesn't ever walk through this, but I didn't realize that would have been an option for a baby. You don't have to go down as far for a baby. And so that is the reason why that's an option for if you have family members buried already, that baby can also be buried in that same plot.
Yeah.
So I know that's hard to talk about, but that is unfortunately a real life thing that you have to discover sometimes. So as a grandparent, Do you still think of him often? Like, after all this happened, do you then? I know we started in the hospital grieving his first Christmas and cry, and all these things start flashing through our minds of what we're now about to miss out on that we had pictured. You know, as a grandparent, did that start happening?
It does for me even now, because you guys have other children. Will's younger sister has other children, so we have other grandchildren. And it really is a real thing that while you're holding mm-hmm. or playing with these other grandchildren, you think about where is John Micah in this mm-hmm. as if he was still there.
Yeah.
But we know he's, you know, in heaven. But and then it can just re-hurt all of it, because you wonder and you want to dream and you think about what could have been, and it'll break your heart again.
Yeah. You feel the same?
I do.
Yeah.
It is the same.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions you want to ask?
I guess I sure do appreciate that y'all were and always have been there. I think I would attest to the fact that I felt like I was already close to my parents, but felt like in a strange way it brought us even closer, you know. And you think just having a child, you know, having the kids that we have, y'all's grandkids, you know, sure, it's brought us closer, but it's strange how a loss, because y'all chose to be there, you know. And I remember seeing, and then even looking back and thinking how there were some really selfless things that y'all did at that time, because I knew that y'all were still grieving. But y'all still chose to be there for us. And, I think that is, a testament too. And an encouragement for anybody who would be listening, you know.
Yeah. As grandparents, but also as parents, is there any advice that you could possibly share? Just like things that you're glad that you did, things that you wish you would have thought of, you know, different things like that.
I'm glad we were able to be there. And reading your child and knowing how much your child either wants you to be there, y'all wanted us there all the time. Y'all would have had to spend the night, I think, if that was possible. So being there as much as you can And then realizing that they're going to grieve differently than you, and allowing them all the room to grieve and to know it's actually a very long process.
Yeah.
It's to understand that your family functions may look different for a while, maybe even a year. As in y'all, there were things it was like, I don't think I can do that. And you have to be willing to say that's okay.
Yeah, that's good.
Just that is okay. If you can't do it, then what can I do? What can you do? What can you take part in? And continue just to help in any way with the other kids, because y'all, you know, you loved your kids and you wanted to take as much time with your other children, but emotionally you needed some help.
We've had friends that lost their first baby, and so you say, like, I can't imagine losing that first baby, but then they have pointed out, I can't imagine losing a baby and then still having to be mama and daddy, you know. And so I always say there's no good way to lose a baby. There's just not. But that was something that a guilt was there of, like, okay, well, you immediately, okay, now we're home from the hospital, and, you know, what do Mark and Jane need from us? And, you know, a lot was on Will because I was recovering from surgery, and then it was just, there's a whole lot. But yes, as grandparents, y'all stepping in and just being okay to then kind of wrangle them. Yeah, I mean, like, so needed, so wanted. One thing that I feel like, so Mr. Ricky, we joke around still about, like, you were just at my every beck and call there for a few days, because I was so worried about Will, and I was getting so much of the attention, and Will was all about the hugs and all that, and he was getting attention, but, like, actual needs and stuff. And so one big thing that I think would just differ from person to person, I did not want to be at the graveside really until the last bit where we were going to be there after his service. But you wanted to go see the plot, and you wanted to be there to help, get the grave started. And Ms. Ricky, you were there for that. You know, you even got a shovel, you know, and that this all sounds awful, but it is part of it. You got him a shovel to make that first mark in the ground. And, that was something that meant a lot to Will to have y'all there for. And then after the service was over at the graveside, I was ready to fly away and I didn't want to see that. But Will wanted to stay until the last little bit. And so you stayed there with him for that, you know, and you didn't get a choice if you wanted to see that or not. You know, you just knew you wanted to be there for your son, and so that's what you did. And, that's selfless acts, you know, that we're thankful for.
Yeah.
Well, good. Looking back now, I believe that some of what was taking place for me had to do with my own parents who lost two little babies.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was young when all that took place, and I don't have memory of family helping my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very difficult thing for my parents, one of those things that was never spoken to. And since Ann and Will, y'all allowed me and Kathy and others to speak to John Micah, and all of that, the hugs, the cries, the talking, I was somewhat learning a different way to grieve, and I did want to help. You don't know how to help.
Right.
And you want to fix, and you don't know how to fix, but you really want to be there. And so, Anne, as you asked about this, you know, would I help with the shovel and this other thing, I just was knowing that through, you know, God's help, I would be able to be there and do those kind of things.
Yeah.
But I really wanted to, because another thing I've thought about afterwards was the fact that the stats say any couple that loses a child, so many end up being divorced.
Yeah.
And
it's over 90%.
Yeah. And so love covers. Love covers. And so I wanted to be a part of that love. And so these different parts, they were very new to me that we were doing, getting the shovel, going out there, right there at the graveside, and kind of we might talk. There were other men besides me and Will.
Yeah.
His brother-in-law, maybe his father-in-law.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we really wanted to support Will. We wanted to love on Will. And this used to be a way that people always did it.
Yeah.
Always. You helped the family.
I haven't ever thought about that.
Yeah. I wanted to say one thing about the day that, I guess it was probably the day before, of Ricky and our daughter's husband, who is a Will, helping Will pick out your dress.
Yeah.
That was the sweetest thing of these three men going and picking out a dress for you.
It was.
So be willing to do... pick out a dress for your daughter-in-law.
Will wanted me to have the dress I was comfortable in and to look pretty in. And so, Will, I feel like that was our nicest. You got a new suit. And
I got
a new dress. Yeah. And we have never bought that expensive of clothing before other than our wedding day. Those pieces of clothing mean a lot to us.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I guess I would say, you know, it was something that we got to do for John Micah.
Yeah.
You know, in a very different way than you would ever picture. But that can sound kind of sad, but it's not whenever I think about it, because I love doing things for the three we have here.
Yeah.
You know, and so anything that I can do, that we all get to do that feels like it's with or for John Micah, I think that's just how we view it, you know.
Yeah.
It's that might be strange, but it's comforting.
Yeah.
You know.
So how would y'all say that John Micah's life has changed y'all?
Learned more about grief. You know, we've spoken to people grieve differently. That's probably the deepest grief I've ever felt. The two parts of my heart breaking so much. Know that just being there, you don't have to speak, and just being there, because that's sometimes all that I could do. And really that's sometimes all that y'all needed.
Yeah.
But just, learning more about grief and that it's okay to celebrate a baby that's in heaven. It's okay.
Yeah.
And one more thing I want to say to grandparents, that it's okay to say that I have six grandchildren, but one of them's in heaven. Don't be afraid to say that.
Yeah, because it means a lot. It means a lot to Mama and Daddy. Yeah, for y'all to still acknowledge that.
Well, yeah, I did not know that it would be not fun, but it is a really good thing for me to do. I got a little concrete statue to take to John Micah's resting place, and it tells the dreams that I had and really have for him: baseball glove, you know, a ball and a bat and stuff like this. And so that is still on his graveside, and I get to go there and sit with him and talk to him about things that we would be doing. And it is part of how that I can grieve. And yes, sometimes there's tears and sometimes there's not. We'll just talk. But most times there's tears. And I get to tell him I miss him, but I will get to see him. I hold in my hands and in my heart the verses where David said, I can eat now, because I know that my little son is in heaven, and one day I'll get to see him.
Mm, Yeah, that's so good. Mm. Well, and I wanted to point out real quick, y'all's little pins, if you're watching, they have on little blue hot air balloon pins. And that was the first thing that I bought for John Micah, was a hot air balloon nightlight after we found out he was a boy. And so that has become our little thing with hot air balloons, to just remember John Micah by. So, and Mark and Jane, anytime they see anything hot air balloon related, they bring up John Micah. So. Sweet. You guys, this is a tough episode, and we honestly have a lot of other things that we didn't even get to, but I feel like there was a lot of good stuff shared, and if y'all are willing to, we might have you back again to continue to talk about what it's like, because grief does continue to evolve and change with time. This Christmas will look different than last. I'm saying Christmas. When you listen to this episode, it's probably January now. But at the time of this recording, we're a few weeks before Christmas. So we hope you guys have a good day, and we'll see you back next week.